Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, I'm mainly happy today, actually. Hello there, how are you? I hope you're well. I'm all right, thanks very much. I'm slightly drunk. Not to panic you, it's not the morning, it's the night before. And I'm enjoying the hubris of that. Because I've got a Dave Yap special for you. He's here, he's a collector and curator of odd audio oddities. And we're going to be doing that directly. He also happens to be my cousin, full disclosure. Before I do that, though, just some any other business. Supporters of the podcast who have joined up over at patreon.com. That's patron with an E. Patreon.com/nottodaypod. We've got the watch along tonight. I hope you'll join me. We'll be watching some terrible old TV and stuff, some ephemera together. And I hope you'll join me. I hope you'll join me also because people have sent me some stuff, which is extraordinary. I've got a physical mailbox address, and there was some stuff in it today, which is really exciting. So I think there's a present or two there. It's my birthday tomorrow, which is really exciting. Anyway, in the middle of the recording with Davey, you'll hear me talking about the fact that Hurting Music Volume 1 is now available to buy or stream on all the platforms: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube Music, Amazon, you name it. If you search for Hurting Music by Jake Yap, there's like, I don't know, best part of 30 tracks. It's volume one of songs taken from the TV show The Hurting, which I did for Dave a couple of years ago. And it's been a real labour of love kind of putting it all together. Have a listen. I'd just be thrilled if you had a listen and if you enjoyed it. I mean, buy it as well for $9.99. But you don't really have to. You can just stream it. Why not leave it on all day and all night for the rest of time? That way I'll make 30p instead of 0.03p. Lots of love to you. Enjoy, Davey. Well, what I'm not going to do is introduce you, because I've probably already done that once in the podcast and I keep hearing myself doing things twice and wincing slightly. So let's... How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey.
I just, you know, weirdest throwback to our camping trips in Wales. There's a midge in here.
Oh.
Dr. Erica, it's the slowest hand clap of all time. David.
I thought you were high-fiving me.
David. Hi.
Yeah.
But how are you anyway? Sorry.
No, I am good. I'm good. Yeah, it's you know, it's getting colder. I like this weather. I like it.
Yeah. You run hot.
I thrive in this weather.
Yeah. I run warm. I don't run hot.
Do you not?
You still need another layer.
Don't you?
All the radiators on. You're probably in a shirt, like a thin shirt, right now, aren't you?
I am, but I am inside. But then I would.
Like a t-shirt and a jumper, and I'm thinking about a scarf.
Is it not very warm?
How much genetic code do we actually share?
No, there's something very unusual about me. Or maybe I don't share any genetic code with anybody in my family.
No, because it isn't. I mean, I don't want to start bringing... Your wife, she's the same, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, as me, no.
Is she not?
No, she gets cold.
Oh, how does... Okay.
Yeah.
How do you make that work?
I mean, not even my children.
Oh, really?
Are the same as me. No.
How extraordinary.
No, they think that I'm insane.
Yeah.
Going out in my shirt.
I suppose now I think about it. Like in your parents' house, the cellar that you were raised in was quite chilly and damp.
It was, but it was lovely though. It was home.
That is where your father kept all of his archive, of course.
It is. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time there.
You're not quite the archivist. I feel like you were trained from a very early age.
Oh yeah.
So you've got some stuff for us, which is amazing.
I've got some highly topical. No, it's not really, but it's sort of it ties in a bit with what's been happening this week.
Okay, shall I guess what story? Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, I found loads of recordings. No,
well, someone did.
Yeah,
but go on.
No, it's not that. If you play number one, it'll give you a good introduction.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. Oh! I can replicate that one.
The occasionally friendly sounds you are going to hear were generated by a new virtuoso on the musical scene.
Wow.
An electronic computer.
This is a virtuoso?
The musical compositions were composed by mathematicians who specified each musical note or rest on punched cards.
It's not exactly Tom Lehrer,
though,
is it?
The first piece entitled Stoccata was composed by Dr. John R. Pierce of Bell Laboratories, originally for piano and recorder. It demonstrates that a computer as a musical instrument is capable of producing sounds of a pleasant timbre and simple harmony.
That is a pleasant timbre.
Oh,
if ever I heard a pleasant timbre.
Isn't it?
That's so pleasant.
Oh, I don't think I've heard a more pleasant timbre.
No, that's...
I mean, who needs a recorder and a piano, really?
It begs the question, you know, how much practice do you need on playing the computer before it sounds good? Is it sort of like the oboe and the violin where it's going to be, you know what I mean? It's not going to sound good the first thump.
No. Well, I'm like sure those piano mathematicians, you know, took a long time to get it to sound that beautiful.
Stunning. That was a stunning piece. So is it an anniversary? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not an anniversary. Oh. No, basically...
Has Daft Punk got a new album out? Well, I don't know.
No, so my theme today is electronic music, computer music, cyber music, you could call it.
I feel like you should pluralise it. It makes it sound so much more highbrow.
Computer musics.
Yeah.
Cyber musics.
Yes.
Well, I thought, well, you know, in the week that there was a lot of outrage over the advert, the year-old advert about having to retrain because you're a ballerina, you should be in cyber.
Oh, I see. Right.
I thought, well, here is, and I'm putting forward the case of this is the cyber. Okay, so obviously we don't need creative people.
No, that's...
Because computers can do it all.
Exactly.
I mean, why?
Yeah.
So that was Music from Mathematics Showcase from the Bell Laboratories.
I mean...
That was played on the IBM 1790.
Wow.
Which
like
had...
four roomfuls of computer or something.
Yeah. But get this, it had... 32 kilobytes of disposable memory.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just...
I mean, you know, it blows your mind. Oh, you can't think of that kind of processing power.
I was thinking about it. Can you remember how much memory your first computer had?
Well, the thing is, because it was the... It was the... Oh, crikey. Well, the thing is that obviously I had a Commodore 64, which is 64-bit, right?
I don't know.
Isn't it?
Don't ask me.
I didn't
but
look
my
up
first,
about
my
that.
First Windows computer had a whopping 540 megabytes of memory.
And that's just crazy. You're never going to use all of that.
No, you're never going to use all of that.
It's going to last forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lifetime's worth. Do you know how many text files you can save?
Yeah. The whole Bible. I've got the whole Bible.
I've got the whole Bible.
And it's...
I've got the whole of Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've even got... There's a game where you can you can type, pick up cauldron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Says, sorry, but I don't know how to pick up. I remember playing that with you like for hours.
Do you remember on the Apple II? The Apple II was the one that we played on.
Okay.
Do you remember that? It was in the outside office.
Yes. Your parents' house. This is when you're let out of the cellar.
Yeah. And on the Apple II, we had Space Invaders.
Yes.
We had a pinball game.
Yeah. You lived in the future as far as I was concerned.
I know. But those were the quite advanced ones. The ones that we had when we first got the Apple II was, there was one about being a rabbit. Do you remember that one?
No, but I want to play that. I want to play the bad game where I'm a rabbit.
It's a text game, and you would type in a number from 1 to 9, and it would tell you what you're doing. So if you typed in 2, it would say, you eat a carrot. And then you type in another letter, number.
There are 9 things a rabbit
a
does. And one of them is definitely not suitable for a game. You're down to like 3 things: eating, sleeping, and digging.
No, because you had to run as well, because the farmer would
get myxomatosis and die.
Some good games. Oh, some good games we played.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, obviously computers can play music. You've heard that.
Yes. But you've blown my mind there, David. I had no idea.
Did you know?
No.
That they can talk. Computers.
What?
Can talk.
Whoa. But not with a voice or anything.
Yeah.
What?
Have a listen to number 2. This is like...
You eat a carrot.
I'll blame it.
Okay.
Did you get that? Did you get what
Hello,
he said?
Hello, radio audience.
Good evening, radio audience.
Good Thank you.
That machine is called a Voda.
I love that.
A voice operating demonstrator.
Love it.
And it was another Bell Laboratory thing.
Yeah.
And it was made for the World's Fair, you know, in 1939. although it was a computer speaking, it is person operated. I have to tell you that.
Ignore
it's quite complicated.
The man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Well, the woman. It was always a woman playing this.
Is it Carol Vodeman?
I think because they thought that it was a bit like... secretary's job, I think. 1939, remember. So you had several keys to push, which gave you your consonants, and you had a wrist bar that I'm not entirely sure what you did with. You had you had a pedal which controlled the pitch.
Wow.
So you would have to play it to create the words.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it looks crazy. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see the Voda.
But it took months to learn how to play it.
God,
yeah,
what a great use of your time.
But it's a good sound, and it's the same inventors who made the vocoder. So it's kind of like
that makes sense.
They thought,
we'll add a C and an O to it.
Exactly, the Voda.
Yeah.
No. So that was the first example of computer speech. I've got some other examples of computer speech. Now, as I said earlier, I had a Commodore 64. I don't know that we played on it together a lot. Did we?
Oh,
did you play on my Commodore 64?
All right. Yes, I did. Yes, I did play on it.
Did you? Okay.
I think so.
Well,
yeah, we played all the games. We played Ghostbusters and was that on the Commodore 64?
Yeah. So I've got some bits of speech from Commodore 64 because it was groundbreaking. They, you know, at the time it was like, oh my God,
high fidelity.
This can speak.
Yeah.
This can speak and it sounds amazing. So I've got some examples here and I want you to tell me what the game it is that it's from. And basically this is like for anyone to answer, you know, if you know the answer at home.
Play along at home.
Shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. Or go outside and play along outside. Well, you can. All right, here we go.
Okay, number 3.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that is lobotomizing Len. Wolfenstein. No. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Listen, you can't. I've got my. You don't you dare! Oh my god, I think they're into each other.
No, you'd already mentioned this one.
No, was it then? Yeah. Was it Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It was Ghostbusters.
I chopped off the
Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. Oh, her Botox. A little fabulous.
Okay. So that was Ghostbusters. So you didn't get that.
Cool.
Number four. Try number four.
Number four.
Congratulations on having one.
Congratulations on having one. So it's something that you win. Actually.
I didn't have this game.
Was it like a racing game?
No, it was a character-driven game. A character that existed outside of computer games.
Oh.
Wow, I'm so good with the words.
Was it Mr. Chupa Chups, the lollipop guy?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
I'll give you a clue. It also... He then probably went on having brains.
Did Jack Benny have a video game out? I don't
know. No, it was the Max Headroom.
Oh, amazing. Max Headroom.
Yeah. Wow. It was like having a real Max Headroom on your TV screen.
Yeah, that was. So, I remember one Christmas watching the Max Headroom movie with you.
Oh, yeah.
Set 20 minutes into the future. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really dark. We thought we were very grown up. Yeah.
It's not as bad as that time when we went to the video rental shop when we were about 10. And
because
we loved watching The Kids from Fame on TV. And, oh, my God, there's a movie of it. Let's rent it. And we put it on with your mum and dad sitting there. And I could feel the air thicken until it was glass and none of us could move for muscle.
Yeah.
And then I think your mum probably said, should we look at the cartoons instead? And we're like, yes, let's look at the cartoons.
I think it was when Leroy has an outburst in the hall.
Yeah, some exciting language.
It was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That was very exciting.
Congratulations. It's great. You have won. Yes.
Yeah. So let's try number five.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get one. So you didn't get that one.
No. Hang on a minute. She's gone.
No.
Number five. Oh, no, she's back. She's teasing.
I love that voice.
I'm gonna. All right, there's something about something a ship sailing the waters of the Red Sea or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what it's called.
Sailing the waters of the Red Sea.
Yes, Imrahil was the
Prince
name.
Of Persia.
Ooh, do you know it's probably like a forerunner?
Yeah,
it was. And I'll try and do it in the voice that it did. Tales of the Arabian Nights.
Oh, okay.
Tales of the Arabian Nights was a terrible game. It was really annoying.
They were all pretty bad.
Past the first level.
Yeah.
They were all pretty bad, yeah. And this last one you may remember, but again, it was a very long game. Have a go at number six.
Destroy him, my robot.
Such a good laugh.
Computers really couldn't project in those days. There was no Brian Blessed plugin, was there? Destroy him, my robots.
The thing is, I just don't know whether it was just the programmer who
of course it was.
Who was recording the voice.
Captured himself in
I'll be the evil genius.
So, So I've wired up a serial port now in the back of my head. If I can't reach it, but if you can, I will lose vision. But I'm working on a mod which destroy him. What was it?
Destroy him, my robots.
Destroy him, my robots. I'm gonna say it's Michael Heseltine, the game.
I bet there was one as well. No, it is the cunningly titled Impossible Mission. Not
for legal
not
reasons.
Impossible. Yeah, exactly.
Tricky mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Really hard to do yes. mission.
Task. Yeah. Tricky.
It was a good game, but it was, again, it was one of those ones that you would play for like an hour and then fail just and then up. Think, I'm not going to play this ever again. And yeah. then you did.
Yeah, because there was nothing yeah. else to do.
Because there wasn't anything else to do.
It wasn't even Channel 4.
So I knew that would be hard because, you know, that's difficult.
That's
so,
okay. I enjoyed it.
But it's... but it led me to think of the kind of speech synthesis that we have today.
Mm.
And I thought, well, let's put it through its paces. So I've taken a bit of some lyrics because I also found, so you know Raymond Scott?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
But just he in was. Case I'd sort of forgotten a bit, and for the benefit of listeners.
Yes. He was an American composer, band leader, pianist, a record producer, and inventor of electronic instruments.
Okay.
But he had a band, and they did a lot of fast, jazzy jazz. What is that?
It's jazz level 7.
Yeah, fast, really fast-paced yeah. and interesting jazz, and yeah. it got used many times in Warner Brothers cartoons.
Right. I had a feeling there was an animation crossover somewhere, and I couldn't
yeah.
remember what.
So all of his work with his quintet was published by Warner Brothers, and so nice. Carl Stalling basically just said, oh, I'll have that.
Oh, did he lift it? Did he lift it?
Well, it was all...
Did he lift it, though?
It was all, I mean, that was basically, it was said to him when he was creating the music. It was like, you can use anything that's in the Warner Brothers publishing. So so the things that became famous were, yes. you know,
come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's Raymond Scott. But yeah, he also invented electronic instruments.
Amazing.
He was pretty crazy, actually. He had a thing called the Manhattan Research.
Things with Manhattan in the title have generally...
Yeah.
You know, you want to be very careful.
His quote was, "It's more than a think factory, a dream center where the excitement of tomorrow is made available today."
Oh.
He influenced... yeah, I know, sorry. He influenced Robert Moog, who invented the yes. Moog synthesizer, or Moog, as it's written. And, and created all sorts of strange instruments. He made a polyphonic sequencer. He said he was the first one to make that.
That's amazing.
Nobody really knows. He made it a machine that could compose with artificial intelligence, he said. It was called the Electronium.
Of course
which
it
is
was.
A good name.
The Electronium.
Yeah.
Isn't that what comes out after... No, carry on.
But he also... So he did all sorts of quite unusual bits of music.
Right.
But he then did his electronic versions of classics, being a jazz man.
Here we go.
So he... So there's a version of Night and Day, yes. which is very groovy. And
this
I
is
thought,
so like Young Frankenstein. It's kind of like, but can they swing?
But it's just the backing. So I thought, well, it needs some computer speech reciting the words. So I'd done it and I put it together. And if you play number 7, we can hear what that sounds like.
Oh, my God.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you, night and day. Day and night.
This.
Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day. Night and day, under the hide of me, there is oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And this torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night. Night and day.
Night and day.
Day and night. Night and day. Day and night. day and night.
Cyrus. That's amazing.
It's nice, isn't it?
That's a great kind
it's
of
a bizarre
peaceful.
Little backing that he made.
And yeah, just like, but it's got wow. it's got a boogie to it.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, and, yeah.
And the ever omnipresent John Briggs 2000, which is what that voice is. That's the voice of Siri in the UK, I think, isn't it?
It's the Mac. Well, it's the Mac voice,
right? It's the voice of Siri in the UK.
It
must
be.
It's modeled on a guy called John Briggs, who I used to work with at Radio 2, and he did the voice for all the promos. And there was a point where he was on every TV station, and that was, I think, the reason why they were like, "Well, he's the most famous voice ever. We'll get him then." So it goes to show it's all about timing with these things, because what you guess is super smooth John Briggs. Whereas if it had been, I don't know, 5 years later, who was the biggest voiceover, it would have been Peter Dixon of the X Factor. How can I help you? just tell me where the nearest bus stop is. Go straight ahead. It would have been a nightmare.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Your devices would have been screaming at you like it was Saturday night at Wembley Stadium.
That's good. There was that sort of vogue at the time, wasn't there, to have a celebrity on your Tom Tom or whatever.
I've got Basil Fawlty on my Tom Tom.
That's good. That doesn't happen anymore.
Because we all quickly realised we don't want that.
No. So that was that.
That was amazing. I loved that. Thank you for doing that.
Well, I'd done something else, because I thought that basically I wanted to show that electronic machines, musician instruments,
hello.
could be lyrical and expressive.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what is the music genre that is most lyrical and expressive? What could that be?
Ooh. this is a test.
Well, I'm interested to know what you think that would be. But I'll tell you.
Just tell me.
It's barbershop, obviously.
Of course. Have you done computerized barbershop?
Obviously I've got the Atamatone.
Yes, you have.
Which is, you gave me an Atamatone.
It's a busted tennis ball on the end of a stylophone.
Yeah, it's a strange Japanese instrument. Looks like a model of a musical note, and you squeeze the bottom of the note.
Work the bulb at the bottom.
You squeeze the bulb.
That's it. And slide your fingers up and down.
And you slide your fingers up and down. Mm-hmm. and it makes a noise. Mm. So it's a kind of like a theremin-y kind of a noise. So I've done Sweet Adeline, which is a very famous barbershop song. It was in the Marx Brothers film Monkey Business.
Uh-huh.
See what you think. It's barbershop as done by Atamatones, number 8.
Here we go.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thank you. That's genuinely impressive.
It's really hard.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
It's nice how it drifts.
Yeah.
Drifts to the right chord right at the end.
Yeah. Because I don't think people fully appreciate, like, that you need to have the like cotton buds for fingertips to get the tuning on that thing right.
Is it's very precise. Yeah. Yes.
And for you and me,
it's
with
quite
our
a small sort amount of
Chantenay carrots.
It is, yeah. It involves a lot of sliding.
Yeah. Well slid. Well slid.
But yeah, no, I thought that worked quite nicely.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I loved
kind
that.
Of barbershop-y.
It's very pretty. It was pretty. And you played through all those parts.
Yeah.
Well done.
I did. Yeah. So like back to computers. Okay, so that was involving obviously a human. Now, computers can compose, you know, because obviously we all have AIs now. Everyone's got AIs and everyone's training their AI to do something. So there's people who have been putting up, you know, things that are written by AI, things that have been, you know, pictures made by AI.
Yeah.
And people have done that with music.
Okay.
So there is a thing called OpenAI, which is an open source AI coding thing. I really understand it properly. And they have a project on it called Jukebox, which is music. And you feed the AI like a few seconds of a popular song.
Okay.
And you tell it what conditions it has. It has all sorts of conditions.
Okay.
Don't
Sounds
really
like
understand.
Working with a real composer, frankly.
Yeah. There's artist and genre conditioning. There's lyrics conditioning. There's all sorts of things.
Like it's Broken Home. Like,
yeah. So you give it the lyrics so that it knows how to continue. It's kind of mind-blowing. I've made a little medley of two here. There's people doing this on YouTube, and it's just like...
Okay.
It comes up with some pretty interesting things.
Okay.
So this is a compilation of Wonderwall by Oasis.
Yes.
And Rasputin by Boney M.
Oh, wow.
Check out the ways that they go.
Okay, then. It's number nine, yes?
It's good. Yeah. By now you know man's older stamp and DK Isaacs too. By now, robotic armor and not the bar be broke all in. Check the deco, be met, Nick Bob, red and better, last cry, kind of sit. He won't pull it.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh. It's
wow.
I don't know what that feels like. It's like if you could look at music through one of those sort of wibbly glasses you get in the front doors.
Yeah. Because obviously it can't be as fully high definition in terms of the sound it's creating, because it's obviously having to create all of the samples.
Yes.
So it is, it's wobbly as well as different harmonic progressions and tunes and words or non-words. So, I mean, it's the same as looking at those pictures that are created by AIs that are really disturbing.
I haven't seen those either. I think I need to.
Don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. But it reminds me of that
like
idea.
A cross between... No, never mind.
Of taking the lyrics to a song and completely changing the harmonic structure underneath. It reminds me of something that you and I did a long time ago.
Oh, that's frightening.
And this is obviously went out on radio. This is when Martin Kellner was in charge. And I thought it's good. It's a good one to hear. I thought your followers might want to hear this. This is Dora Dale and her friend Nell.
Yes, on the guitar.
On the guitar.
Yes.
That was, in the studio in Oxford with Martin. And Dora introduces this. Do you want to...
Sure.
Do you want to play it? It's number 10.
Okay, here we go.
We're going to get it.
I woke up this morning with something unusual inside me.
I'm going to stop there, right? And just say, I'm pretty sure that this... If you've heard the other podcast with Davey, this was, I think, like days after we went on the camping trip, because you can hear I've got a cold.
Oh, yes.
I think it was the same trip.
You think it's that cold? Yeah, you've got a really bad cold.
I think it was that cold.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear how the cold affects you.
Okay.
We're going to get
I woke up this morning with something unusual inside me.
Is that right?
It was the gift of song, Martin.
Yes?
I never sang before today.
No.
And my friend, my companion, Nell, here, never played the guitar before today.
Do you know, you're filling me full of confidence.
Am I?
Yes, you really are.
Well, I thought you were already full.
Yeah.
But we're going to play for you now an old standard, I've Got You Under My Skin.
Oh, it's a lovely
song.
You
know that song.
It's Cole Porter.
Cole Porter, very, very much. Right. Well, I'll start off
it's
because
very much Cole
music
Porter,
has entered me.
Yeah,
I know. I got to let it out. I'll count you in now. Are you ready? Ready, steady, go. I've got you under my skin.
I remember this.
I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. Very good now. I've got you under my... Wait a minute. Wait. It's not very funny. You might think it's funny.
No.
Right, go on. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the... anyone, for the sake of having you near, in spite of the warning voice that comes in the night and repeats. Sorry. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Wait, you've done that bit wrong. Go back. You never can win. Use your virility. Wake up to
reality.
Senility. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you. Big finish under my skin.
You.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Amazing. You see,
wow.
Local radio serves a community that deserves euthanasia over that. Tremendous.
Wow.
I mean, that's, those were the days.
What time did we do that? That was probably going out at about 12:30, I would
say. Yeah, I was going to say, it would have been, I would say, probably about 12:40. It was on a Friday night. Yeah. This was when I was about 22, I think. And so you must have been 23. And I was working in London and met Martin Kellner, and he said, come and be my zoo. So I did, and then you came along too. And so it was a really just a wonderful chapter of my life, where every Friday night I'd finish work at Radio 2 and jump in my car. I say my car, it was my parents' car. God, they lent me their car every week.
Wow.
And I would drive to Oxford, and you would be there, and we'd go to the pub and get a bit drunk, because in those days there was no streaming stuff over the internet. No. And it was a known fact that the station manager left at 6 o'clock on Friday night to go to his weekend retreat, which was outside the patch.
Yeah.
So he couldn't possibly hear the show.
No.
I mean, he could have just got a recording. But he didn't. No. And so, you know, we'd sort of hold it together for the first hour or so. Two, maybe. But then the last hour from midnight onwards was just mad.
It was completely mad.
And it was so, God, it was honestly idyllic. Because then you and I would go on the way back to your parents' house. Yeah. We'd stop at a garage and buy about 6,000 calories worth of junk.
Yeah.
And eat it outside the garage at like 1:30 in the morning, having a brilliant time. And then we'd go back to your place and probably play video games or do something.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up and I'd be in your like family house, which is my favorite place in the world.
Yeah.
Every week. I was like, this is what adulthood is about.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
It was good.
It was the best time ever.
I mean, yeah, there's some good things that came out of that.
Yeah.
Good. You were very creative at that point as well.
Oh, no. No, that was the trouble.
No,
I was
you
a
did.
Bit
we had a lot
more.
Of good songs.
Did we?
And yeah.
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 There's one song that I've got. There's like a lost song. You must have this. It was like bits of work you did that you've lost.
Yeah.
And I've had this lately where I've been... so I think today, literally right now, you can buy at least volume one of The Hurting songs.
Oh, yeah.
Songs from The Hurting. Yeah. And I've had to go back and quite forensically reconstruct a lot of these songs, because I did the music in one app and then I did the audio in another. I did that in Pro Tools, which I don't have the license for anymore. And I don't even know if I've got the project folders.
Right.
So all of the lyrics and stuff, I've literally had to re-find the vocals as just raw recordings and then re-edit them and sync them back into the music.
Oh, yes.
And it's been really forensic stuff. Yeah. And I've had to recreate some bits. But you must have had songs that you've lost and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. Yeah. Things. Yeah. And it just links to the wrong bits of audio. And then you try playing it back and it's like, what's this?
Sounds like Boney M and Oasis. But there's a song I'd love to hear or see it again or whatever that I did. It was a Dora Dale song, and it was a good song when I was 22. Called Why Don't You Take It was called Why Don't You Take Me Up the Dilly.
Oh,
and it was about a sausage selling young lady who a guy she's trying to sell sausages off her stall, and then a kindly gentleman comes along and says, "Why don't you take it up the dilly?"
So this was in the style of My Old Man.
Yeah, it was a sort of music hall song.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like
I'm
Eminem.
Sure it'll exist somewhere. There'll be those dats in that.
I have got a stack of dats.
Room.
Yeah.
Wow, so that was a little bit of a diversion away from computer music. No.
I think it was very on point. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. So I've just really got one more track. There is another little thing afterwards, but there's one more track here. This is a robot singing. This is a record from 1966. This is a record by a group called Bent Bolt and the Nuts.
Good name.
And it involves a man basically being a robot. And I would say that he's all right. Probably
so this is a man
done
being
some
a robot.
Severe damage to his throat.
Okay.
But it's a great song, and it really, it'll get stuck in your head, and you'll be humming it, not singing it because you can't.
Is it up there with DJ the Best?
I think it's a good song. Okay. I think it's a good song. Hey, have a listen.
Okay.
I'm a mechanical man. Wow. I was built in a factory. My serial number is 08456713. I'm designed in the USA and manufactured in Japan. Does anybody know a robot girl who wants to meet a mechanical man? I can fix an automobile. I can put up a Christmas tree. I can milk a cow, I can mow a lawn, I can pour you a cup of tea. Wow. But I'm looking for someone who could help me to charge my coil and fill me up with batteries and feed me my daily oil. I would not care at all if she looked like a garbage can. Does anybody know a robot girl who wants to meet a mechanical, 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 mechanical? Oh no.
Too few songs nowadays end with a heavily reverbed sound effect.
Of a crash, exactly. Yeah. But that's going to hurt, right?
That's, yeah.
I would understand.
Kids, don't smoke.
Yeah, it's an interesting
a tour de force of performance, but you're right. The polyps on that throat have got to be... Wow. Unbelievable. You say it's catchy, and it sort of is. It's just that, you know, my brain's going, I can't replicate that.
Yeah, no, I know.
Or not comfortably.
Does anyone?
Yes. You could do a lovely operatic version, maybe. So that's I'm leaving the final word to the master of electronic music, Delia Derbyshire, who was of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, who remarkably, obviously, came up with the whole Doctor Who theme. Well, made the version of the Doctor Who theme from Ron Grainer's composition.
Right.
Although when she made it, he said, "Did I really write this?" And she said, "Most of it."
Okay.
And he to be fair, Ron Grainer tried to get her a co-composer credit.
Oh.
But the BBC...
Wonderful people.
No. Yeah. And she only finally got a credit for doing that theme tune on the 50th anniversary special of Doctor Who.
Wow.
So, progress. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's the point. The BBC is moving with the times.
Yeah.
not necessarily as briskly as we could... No.
But she has done this tiny little piece called Time to Go, which is a great way to finish. It's a good musical full stop, and just check it out. It's great.
Here it is. It ended with a sound effect with a heavy reverb.
Exactly.
My cup runneth over.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's a very pretty tune.
I could listen to that, like, on loop.
I once got to poke around bits of the Radiophonic Workshop when I worked at the BBC.
Nice.
And they had some really old stuff.
Yeah.
And
did it still work?
It was extraordinary, the stuff that they did. I mean, they did
really
mad pioneering stuff. And you sort of think, sure, they had plugs and circuit boards and stuff. And it's like, no. You know, they were doing stuff. I saw some quarter-inch audio tape, so the reel-to-reel tapes
that
you would use to record in those days. And instead of editing... If you imagine how you'd edit that, you pull out the tape, and I used to do this at Radio 2, and I loved it. You stick it in a little block, you mark it on the playhead where you want to make the edit, and then you stick it in a block, and you draw a razor blade down it, and then you snip out the bit you want, and you tape it back up, and you put it back in.
Yeah.
No, in the Radiophonic Workshop, they were doing horizontal edits of quarter-inch tape. They were splicing the tape lengthways. And making edits and stuff. And it's all done, obviously, electronically now. But the voice of the Daleks originally was created by... you'd have leader tape. If you remember cassettes, you remember that at the beginning of the spool, just like with a reel-to-reel, you'd have leader tape. And it's the tape that just sort of is just to get the thing up and running. And it's sort of clear and it doesn't make any noise. And it doesn't carry a signal because it's just translucent tape. It's not magnetic.
Yeah.
And then you get into the proper audio tape. What they'd done is they'd spliced tiny, and I mean like, I don't know, probably a tenth of an inch bits of leader tape intercut with audio tape so that when it went over the playhead it went because you'd have record a bit blank bit record a bit blank bit but really really fast
but that's
how they created the sound of the Daleks.
Whoa.
they were literally kind of just doing every kind of mad thing they could think of with the tools that they had. It was an amazing place.
It was a good time as well. It was that thing of
right,
let's create the titles by filming a screen that's filming itself. That's like, you know, let's create some feedback on the screen.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
And that was, you know, the if you want me to get into the whole politics of it all, I was at the BBC when John Burke came in, and he was basically tasked with chopping up the BBC. And privatising bits of it and selling it off. And the result of that was that there was this internal billing system. It meant that if you needed a DAT tape to record something on, you couldn't just go and get a DAT tape from the DAT tape store. You'd have to go and raise a purchase order, and you'd have to go and buy a DAT tape. And it would cost like £349.98 with this mad internal charging system. And you could just go and buy one in a shop for 15 quid or something. And what it meant was that things like a TV studio within the BBC was charging the production of a TV show by the hour for the use of that studio, and all of the staff had to be accounted for. And what that spelled the death knell of was mucking about. You couldn't just muck about in a TV studio or in an audio studio anymore, because every minute had to be accounted for. And, you know, you could argue, well, quite right too, how profligate. But I would argue that it was people just hanging around, mucking about and doing stuff for fun because they were there.
Yeah.
That created some of the best stuff that there was. And that was the era for that.
Yeah.
People could just tinker.
Yeah.
And you're really not allowed
now,
to tinker
now
anymore.
They have you have to resort to doing it on a podcast.
There is
the
that
only place you can muck about.
Yes, if only there was some sort of platform that was accessible to people.
Good point, well made. Well, no, but it's not funded anymore.
No, there is that absence of money. But speaking of money, the Hurting album that I mentioned before, I think it went live today. If you want to buy it, not you, David.
Nice.
I'm just saying, if you're listening and you'd like to buy,
I'm your biggest fan.
I'd be so mortified. But it's that thing, isn't it? You know, when family members are like, no, no, we bought our ticket to come and see you. It's like, God, no, don't do that because I'm not worth it. It's a true labour of love. And it's volume one. Volume two, I think, is going to be another 2 or 3 days because I'm still putting one of the songs together, literally line by line. But nice. All in all, it's something like 65 songs and pieces of music, and
whoa.
It's going to be really fun. So volume one is out today, kids.
Man,
search for Jake Yap, The Hurting on any platform. You can just listen to it. You can just stream it on Spotify or whatever. It's on YouTube Music and iTunes and everything.
Sometimes you need to own it. You just do, you know.
You're right. Yes, David, you're right. Sometimes you need to own it like 4 or 5 times. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to make sure it's on all of your devices.
It's great to own it on iTunes, like, and Spotify Amazon. Yeah you're exactly. right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Because if you're then thinking, oh no, I've stopped my subscription with this one, I better make sure I've still got it.
You go out and you check in your bag or whatever, and you've got iTunes and Spotify, but you didn't bring Amazon today. you left Amazon on the kitchen table. And that's where you bought it. If only you bought it everywhere else as well.
Exactly.
It's worth a go, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, that was a wonderful romp through.
Well,
a miracle
we've gone on
technology. Thank you, and I do hope you'll come and do it again soon.
Yeah. If you want to check out my latest video, which includes it's a machine as well. You see, it's tied in.
Clever.
It's got the Yappaphone in there. I know.
Where can people find it?
It's that's on YouTube under Kettle of Fish. That's under my separate brand. It's in the Kettle of Fish YouTube channel, but it's the separate brand of Kettle of Fish One Fish.
Yes,
which is my solo Kettle of Fish.
Yes, and I believe you're working on a new project called Two Fish and then Red Fish. Is that right?
Yes, I would like to.
I mean, genuinely though, you should. That'd be amazing.
I know.
I could see your brain kind of going. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Well, we will see you very soon, and our heartfelt thanks for a brilliant.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've had Botox. It's so cheap. So I look fabulous. David, kiss me. Yes, you know, kiss. Kiss me, Botox.
Sorry. And there, I think we'll leave it for today. Thanks very much indeed for being here. I hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to check out Davey on the YouTubes. I'm going to say goodbye because in my time, not your time, Larry and Paul Live is about to start on the internet. And I'm about to phone in as Trevor Blowinghorn, I think. So, bye. Bye!
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.